Welcome to the XYZ Experiment Podcast. It's Dash and Fiona with you today. And Fiona, I just wanted to chat to you because I, during the week, heard a social commentator talking about how baby boomers and Gen Xers had much more higher numbers of school kids with broken bones. It was almost like they were the majority in the classrooms. However, the generations these days, not as much broken bones in the classrooms and kids in casts. And so I wanted to ask you about your childhood injuries and whether or not you have broken a bone.
I didn't break a bone until my adult years, but you're absolutely right. Like the kids at school, there was broken bones always, whether it was a leg, arms in particular, arms and wrists, we'd see that all the time. And it was from simple things like falling off the monkey bars, falling off your bike, you know, all of those sorts of injury, lots of grazes and abrasions.
Mm.
And because we had different safety things back then. In fact, we had no safety things back then at all.
We had no safety things.
You know, if I think back on it, like seatbelts were optional, you know.
Stop it.
No, seriously. So my mum, some cars didn't come with seatbelts in the back seat. Like they actually didn't come with seatbelts.
Can you remember when they did come in, seatbelts?
I don't, but I remember being without seatbelts. Like my mother had a Monaro when I was growing up as a kid. It didn't have seatbelts in the back seat and us three kids would sit in the back seat. And Monaros back then were like the sports cars of today. And my mum would be driving it and us kids would be sliding back and forth on the back seat, like just back and forth along the seat.
Oh, my gosh.
Or like there was no baby seats back then. Baby seats just didn't exist. And so a baby seat for me as a child, my father had me in a bassinet on the front seat. It's not seat belted in or anything. It's just sitting on the front seat. And my dad had a car accident and I actually ended up. The bassinet flew under, like you used to go up into the engine that way and I was up inside where the feet well is up there.
So were you in the front seat in the bassinet?
I was in the front seat in a bassinet, yeah, not strapped in or anything because that's how it was. That's how it was.
And you ended up in the engine of the car.
Yeah, just up through, you go up through the feet things.
And were you okay?
Yeah. I was okay. Apparently my poor dad was beside himself, but I was all right. Or when I was 3 or 4 years old, of course, no seatbelts. And so my mum was driving with my auntie and I was standing between them, between the two front seats, you know, where the console is. And the brake was suddenly put on and I went into the front windscreen. I just flew forward and went into the front. That's what it was like as kids. I've got this like an F running riding scar on my chin, which is from me going into the windscreen of the car.
Oh, my God.
It's just, yeah. I mean, you didn't have helmets when you rode your bikes. There was no such thing. I'd never seen a bike helmet until maybe my adult years. We just didn't have bike helmets. And we would disappear all day long and do really stupid things. I can remember my sister and I at the top of this very steep hill. Even to this day, that hill is steep as an adult. And we went racing down and my sister had the worst stack at the bottom of it. So she didn't break anything, but really probably concussed.
Wow.
And really badly grazed. And then one of the people who we didn't know who they were, but this is what it was like back in the 70s, put us in the back of the car and drove us home just because my sister was pretty badly injured. Her bike was destroyed and drove us home. But that's what it was like back then. You'd be on monkey bars and underneath, like, I remember when it was just tar, like asphalt, and like, so bitumen, that's the word for it.
Yeah.
So there'd be bitumen, and so if you fell off the monkey bar, you're on bitumen, you know, so that's where a lot of broken arms and concussions and that happen. I do remember when that changed to sand, like there'd be...
We had tan bark.
Oh, see, we didn't have any of that. Like it went to sand, and so you'd fall into the sand instead. It was just, yeah, like kids were sporting injuries all the time. And it was really that sort of era as well about, you know, dust yourself off and get up. You know, no tears over that. Just get up and get going. What about you? As a millennial, what about you?
So I think I must have been in a transition era because we definitely had bike helmets. And I very much remember, I think I was in grade three, we had bike education for a whole term.
Wow.
And we were taught how to ride our bike safely, how to ride on the road.
Yes.
How to fit our bike helmets appropriately, all of those types of things. And we got certificates when we passed. So, you know, it was a big deal. I would fall off the monkey bars, and I remember falling off the monkey bars, didn't break anything. I remember falling doing things like little lats, like, you know, and like hurting yourself, but I never broke a bone, and I was so jealous of the kids in my class who did, because it was actually like a bit of an honour.
Like a cult status.
A cult status that you were this risky kid that broke a bone and then, you know, you'd get a cast and everyone would get to sign it.
Yes.
And it was like such a big deal. The most attention I got in primary school is I must have been, what would I have been, grade four or five, and the house across the street, the dogs broke out of.
Oh, yeah.
And we were making daffodil chains in on the oval, and these big, they felt like really big dogs. They probably weren't that big, but these really big dogs came running after us, and so we all got up and ran. And one of them nipped the back of my leg.
Yes.
Didn't break skin, mind you.
Yeah.
I was so terrified. I climbed up the rocket at our school. So we had the, I don't know if
you had I've seen the rockets. So I've seen them down in Hawthorne. Yeah.
So anyway, there was this structure and you'd climb up, and I think ours was three little flights up, and I just sat on the rocket, and like the teachers had to come and get me down because I was so scared of like the dogs being loose on the school grounds. So that was my primary school injuries, apart from grazes and cuts from just falling over.
Because I see photos of things that we did as kids with our parents, and I'm a bit shocked at some of the risks that we took. Like, I was looking at some photos recently of us climbing the Gloucester tree in Pemberton, and this is one of the...
Oh, that's the tallest tree.
Yeah, one of the tallest trees, and it was literally just this sort of rail cut into the side of it, and you just pegs... And you just climbed it. And I've got photos of us guys just climbing with no safety, no nothing. Just,
do you know if it's still like that?
No, you can't do that anymore. And there's photos of us, like my mum or dad must have been down the bottom taking some photos of us from the bottom. And then we've got photos of us at the top. And I've looked at the photos going, oh my God, like I would never do that. Like climb now as an adult, I would never do that.
But would you let, like if you had a kid in your charge, would you?
There is absolutely no way I would let a child. What were my parents thinking? It's just like, oh God, what were they thinking? But that's what it was like, you know.
Yeah.
Parents are boomers, or my dad's silent, and silent Jen, and we were X's, all three of us girls at that stage. And we would do those things. Like that's just what it. Well, and I also think about, you know, I grew up in WA, and my mother, very big into the beach, because my mother grew up in a place called Piha in New Zealand for a lot of her holidays. So we would swim in all the beaches with rips and huge waves. And I mean, I see myself as a pretty good swimmer because of that. But I think back at it now and think we could have been swept out by a rip. But we were taught to swim with it,
yeah, that's right, yeah.
That's why I never panic now. But I think, wow, Mum and Dad took us into those waters. I can't believe that we were just doing that sort of stuff. Whereas I feel like today's generation, they don't even do that. They don't go that far. Like, there's a rip, let's not go in the water.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, it's just... Let's not take that risk. Or you see the trees down in Pemberton and you just go, there's no way I'm letting my child climb that. And I was reading a thing, it was probably maybe a year or two ago, saying that there's been some concern that we've made child play, outdoor play, so safe now that we're actually affecting our children's sort of cognitive development because of it, because they're not learning risk assessment. They're not learning about consequences of your risky action. They're not learning those sorts of things. I found it really fascinating, and that maybe we need to change some of the playgrounds to be a little bit more riskier. But then, you know, the poor old councils, they're not going to get insurance for that or want to build that if it's at risk to a child. So the playgrounds, when I see the playgrounds nowadays, they just seem so safe to me. Just the biggest risk will be that you might get a splinter if they're made of wood.
Yeah, it's true. And I, you know, you and I both live near a new playground that's been built. Mm-hmm. And it kind of started, I think, during COVID times, or the planning happened during COVID times. And it is a what we would now consider a dangerous playground.
And I think that's where I saw the story from. It was okay. about that playground, because they actually made that playground to be a bit more riskier for children to
like
challenge.
There's full
them.
On rocks.
Yeah.
And full of, like, yeah. things don't look like
it
they're
looks
stable.
Dangerous.
Like, you walk past and you just go, I'm not sure about that.
It is noticeably different to a children's playground that you see nowadays. Like, noticeably different. It looks dangerous, but it probably isn't. It's probably aesthetically been designed to look like that. But maybe that's great for kids to think there is some risk here for me.
Yeah.
We used to spend a lot of time in Kings Park, which is a massive park in Perth, on the weekends. And they had all sorts of risky things that you would climb and do, and we would just do it. And, yeah, we'd fall out of it. And I just think we just didn't worry about breaking our arms or legs. If you did, you'd smash teeth as well. Like, God. Lots of kids with a missing front tooth, you know, back in the day, because they'd fallen out of something. It's just different nowadays. And like, if I took my nieces or nephews out and we were bike riding, because they like to ride, there's no way I'd let them go without a helmet. There's no way. I wouldn't ride a bike without a helmet now.
Yeah.
And there's so, maybe because I don't remember any injuries that were catastrophic as a child. I can't remember losing a kid in a class or anything like that. I can't remember any catastrophic injuries, but there must have been.
Yeah.
That's why these safety protocols are now in place. I mean, of course, seatbelts. I mean, of course.
Of course, seatbelts.
And baby seats. And, yeah, I mean, of course.
Yeah, like, we're not saying to go back to having those.
No. We're not saying that at all. We're just saying the difference of where we've come from to where we are today. So, yeah, of course, like, I get it. I wouldn't hop into a car without a seatbelt on, and like, I'm all for car seats for kids until they're the right size and, you know, airbags and all that sort of stuff. Like, I really get it. But do we need a little bit of risk in our lives? Like, has that made me the type of adult that I am today, that I am? I am definitely a risk taker in my life, and I try out new things, and I'm not as scared to try new things. One of the things that I saw with my nieces and nephews was the school had a program called Ricky Resilience to actually teach the kids more resilience.
Oh, my goodness.
And that's what the program was called. And we never had anything like that as kids.
No.
And were we more resilient as kids? I think we were. I just think we were.
Or we didn't recognise if we weren't.
Because I would really say that when you're growing up as a Gen X, you've been brought up by baby boomer parents or silent generation parents, it was very hands-off. You would disappear for hours on end. And even if you got a fracture in your arm, maybe it might not have been picked up for a day or two. It wasn't always straight away.
So I would say, like, as a millennial, as a Gen Y, and my parents are baby boomers, but they came from Sri Lanka and they're very risk averse. Mm. So I wasn't allowed to just roam around free. Like, you know, our primary school was at the top of the hill.
Yeah.
And Mum used to walk us or take us to school all the time. And then we'd go with friends, but she would stand at the bottom of the hill and watch us walk up.
Oh, no, we never
and
had
so,
any of that.
You know, she was quite protective of us.
Yeah.
But I would say, I mean, we were still encouraged to do a lot of things. And, you know, we still played a lot of sport. And particularly in high school, I remember playing netball. And I had a catastrophic injury. Well, it wasn't catastrophic. That's just because for me it was catastrophic. But I was in the netball grand final and jumped up and I landed on the side of my ankle. And so I tore the ligaments in that ankle. And it was the end of the season. So then I had the whole, like, season break to recover.
Yeah.
And it was so painful. Like, I had I think I threw up on the court. I was in that much pain.
Pain. Yeah, yeah.
My first game back, did it to the other ankle.
No, seriously. Mm-hmm.
I must have been overcompensating, and did it to the other ankle, and then was on crutches again for a huge amount of time, and had to go through all the physio again. And so, I think my parents after that were a little bit like, "Should you be playing netball?"
I've seen a lot of netball injuries. Netball's in my teenage dangerous. Years.
Game.
Yeah, I've had friends who've had knee reconstructions in their 20s because of netball. Because of that stop-start. That stop-start does
It's not a normal way your body moves.
Yeah, it's a jarring. It's a jar. I mean, all sports have something. I remember there was this ad for AFL once, and they had commentators from overseas watching a game. Like someone like, it was McEnroe was watching one of them, and they're like, "Oh my God!" it blew their mind that they had no safety equipment on, and they were, you know, taking speckies against each other and bowling each other over. And they just like their reaction was so pure and so like horrifying.
Yeah,
it's a very Aussie thing, I think, these very physical sort of sports. Can I ask another question away from sports? Because I often think about this as well as injury to kids is cooking at a young age.
Mm-hmm.
Like we were allowed to cook from a very young age. Mm. I almost chopped one of my fingers off. I've got a, you can see there, a really serious scar because of it. Do you know what was done? Nothing. We just bandaged it up because I didn't want my mum to know. I'd almost cut my finger off. I think I cut it to the bone. And then a couple of days later she discovered it. And
so we, were your sisters there and you were all
we
like?
We were all doing it from a really young age. We were cooking toffee.
By yourself, like totally unsupervised.
Unsupervised. We were cooking toffees. We were cooking, because I was obsessed with cooking back then, like our own honeycomb. So I'm talking about things here that have high, high temperatures to them. And we were cooking all this sort of stuff, unsupervised, using the main knives from a very young age. I cooked from a very, very young age.
I probably didn't. I microwaved things.
No, you definitely did microwave.
And I remember one time I attempted to cook brownies and I put it on the grill instead of baking.
I've done that. I wonder if it's because I grew up in a restaurant when I was younger.
Yeah, like, you had the confidence.
Yeah, that, you know, we were always in the kitchens of the restaurant, and so we started cooking from an early age because of that. We were always experimenting with things and Mum just let us go for it, you know. And cook whatever we wanted. But if my young niece had cooked like toffee at the age I was, I would be so worried about some sort of serious burn but we didn't get that. I don't know why. Or maybe we didn't, I can't remember. But yeah.
I wonder how much though our parents thought about it but then were like, "Oh no, it's fine." Like they've got to learn.
Yeah, got to learn somehow.
Yeah.
I don't ever remember my parents hovering over me or checking in on me. And look, I had good parents. This is the normal parent back then. This is not a parent who's not giving a damn. This is a normal parent. And that's how we were. It was just that sort of lifestyle back then. And obviously there must have been serious injuries over the years that society became, hey, maybe we should look into this a little bit more. You know, make safer playgrounds and make safer cars and, you know, do all that sort of stuff.
But you know one thing, and I did also see this on a Facebook reel, which means it was probably a TikTok at one point. They talked about the things that Australians learnt growing up.
Okay.
And so they talked about things that we would learn, things like how to get out of a rip.
Yes.
We would learn things like what to do if you were on fire.
Yes.
Stop, drop, roll. Yep, and we'd practice that in
really?
Schools.
You'd
practiced that in schools and we would learn like all of these like survival skills.
Yeah. Do they still teach that?
I don't know.
I don't know if they do. I don't know.
I'm going to have to ask my niece.
Yeah, I wonder if they do. I'm going to ask my niece tomorrow.
But like even like when we'd go on school camps, like you'd learn a lot of survival stuff of the Australian bush.
Okay.
And, like, I remember going camping when I was in year 7 and just, like, learning how to make a fire and how to put up a tent and how to make sure you were safe in the bush and all of that kind of stuff. And I just wonder whether or not there's also, like, this Australian thing of, like, you need to be prepared because these things could happen to you. I don't know. I've never been on fire.
To be warned about snakes and all that sort of stuff.
What to do with a snake bite, what to do with a spider bite.
Yeah. all that sort of stuff.
How to identify some of the spiders.
Yeah, like a red back.
And yeah, and the white tail.
We did
tail.
Learn all that when we were younger.
Mm-hmm.
We definitely did, to be careful when walking through the bush
and yeah.
all that sort of stuff, to be really careful of that. We did definitely knew that. I'm not sure who taught us that. I do reflect sometimes on some of the things I did as a kid, and I think I'm lucky we didn't die. Like one of them in particular I think about a lot is there was an empty block down the street from our house, and we dug tunnels into
what?
The block, and we were like cubby holes, and how that didn't
collapse
onto us. I think about that all the time. Think, wow.
Did an adult ever know that you were doing that? No.
Why would they? They just wouldn't know. And, you know, yeah, I think about that a lot and just think, wowee, that we were so lucky that sand didn't collapse on top of us. Like, so lucky. Like, yeah, there's things that I think about a bit, you know, the things that we were doing and some of the stuff we did on our bikes and, you know, that we would just give it a go on our roller skates or just crazy, crazy stuff. Like, we're lucky to be alive today.
So I have also another theory that, I mean, I know that there's still kids today who play a lot of sport and who do get injured. Like, we're not saying they're not broken bones.
No,
like, they're
definitely.
It's just there's been potentially an increase in safety procedures to reduce that, which is good.
And also, I was reading that kids are spending a lot more time indoors. That,
yeah.
That's a fact. It's mm-hmm. not. I'm not just saying that. That's a fact.
Mm-hmm.
And more screen time than outdoor time as well. So there's less potential for that as well. I don't like for me to be indoors. It was a Saturday morning. We would watch a Dean Martin movie with Jerry Lewis, followed by an Elvis movie. So there's 3 hours of our life watching those two movies, and that was it. Like, we were outside for the rest of the weekend.
Wow.
Yeah, that would be our sort of weekend thing that we would do. But otherwise, outdoors the entire time. Like, there was no gaming, there was no videos, there was no nothing to watch on TV. That's what it was. So you were outdoors all the time. There was a lot of ball injuries. Like, we used to play a lot of cricket, a lot of tennis.
Mm.
And so you'd often get a ball to the leg or the face or something like that. So a lot of bruising and grazing as well.
Well, like one of my injuries, which I didn't realise was an injury, and I still to this day cannot believe I did this, but this was when I was in uni and I was playing soccer. I don't know if I've talked about this, but like I think I was like only 3 feet, like a metre away, and they kicked the ball and it hit me straight in the head.
Yeah.
And I actually fell to my knees. Yeah. Like the force was so strong and I saw stars and I was a bit like, oh.
You're probably a concussion.
And I then drove a car load of people home, stopped at a petrol station, threw up.
Yeah, because you had a concussion.
And then kept driving.
That's
and
insane.
Didn't at any point think I should get checked.
Yeah.
But I had a really sore head. I had a massive bump on my head.
Mm. Your brain would have been rattled inside
My God. Like the things that I was just like, wow, but it just wasn't on my radar. Whereas in concussions are talked about a lot more, I feel, these days. And there's concussion protocols and all of that. But what I was going to say is I do know that there is an increase in injuries from scooters.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, there would be. Yeah.
And not everyone is wearing helmets with those.
Yeah.
And people are riding those under the influence of alcohol and drugs.
Yeah.
But my theory is like often maybe they, I don't know, I think they might have been people who didn't take those risks growing up maybe.
Yeah. And so never had the injuries.
Never had the injuries. And now they're like in early adulthood and like a little bit more wild.
Yeah.
I don't know.
But even things, I was talking to my sister yesterday and one of my nephews got his L's recently.
Yeah.
And we were talking about getting our driving license. Now I've been driving, how old am I now? I've been driving for 40 years. When I got my license, I had 6 lessons, so that's 6 hours of driving, and then I had my license.
Stop it.
I'm not kidding.
You didn't have to do 120 hours of driving?
Yeah, so we were talking about, and I can still remember, I had a car that I went and picked up a couple of friends in my car. I had 6 hours of driving and drove them to university, and I still remember that drive. I think I just about killed us, and that's how it was.
Oh, my God.
That's how it was. Like,
thank God it's changed.
It's so – and because we were talking about how my nephew needs 120 hours. And I was just saying to my sister, oh, can you remember? And she said, I think I had 7 or 8 lessons. And then, yeah, I had my license. And she remembers when she drove for the first time too. And just think, wow. I mean, that seems crazy.
It is now. Crazy. It is like, crazy.
Crazy. I remember, because we all drove manual, and I was on this very steep hill going up this major road in Perth, and had to do a hill start. So, you know, you've got your handbrake pulled out, and you've got to coordinate your feet so you can and I took off the handbrake, and I started sliding backwards in my car. It's just crazy. Crazy stuff, you know. And of course, obviously, there was massive car accidents in my day, like massive car accidents. So I completely understand now the change in the road rules and the P's and L's and all that sort of stuff. And that should be like that. That should be like that. And I do remember when I was younger, I actually went to a couple of funerals of people who died in car accidents, young people.
Wow.
And I think that's because of
inexperience.
Yeah, inexperience. And also the alcohol limit was higher then as well. And also we weren't really taught the dangers of drunk driving like you are today as well. So, you know, there's a lot of big 21st parties and things like that. So I did see a bit of that, like people passing away from car accidents, like driving home from a party or the pub. Yeah, now I'm thinking about it. Used to see quite a bit of that, which you don't as much anymore now, which is really good. Because I think they have to have a zero alcohol now if they drive. I think
it's totally different. Yeah, P-platers, you can't drink and drive.
Yeah it's a different world. Maybe it's a better world, like to have less injuries and things like that, but... Yeah, there's got to be pros and cons for both. Of course, most of them are going to be pros, but what do we lose when we lose that risk assessment? Like, what do we lose?
Well, I think, you know, if you were balancing out the risk, like definitely with cars and those kind of things, I think you can be a danger to yourself and a danger to others. So that risk definitely has to be managed. But I do think, you know, for some of the stuff on playgrounds and stuff, like we've probably made that swing a little bit too far the other way.
Yeah.
Talking as someone who does not have children.
Yeah.
And if I did have children, I would be a hovering parent saying, oh my God, watch your head.
Yeah.
You know, like I even know, like when we have kids to our apartment, like we've got a glass table with sharp corners.
Yeah.
And constantly when there's a child around, I'm like putting my hands on the corners because I'm like, don't like smack your head on that.
Mladen would be doing that too. He'd probably put some sort of pad there. He'd be so panicked about
it. I'm so panicked about that kind of stuff. But we survived the playground. And I think the playground is a way to learn what your strengths are, what your abilities are, to fall down and dust yourself off.
Yeah.
And the worst thing you might have is a graze, a bruise, a broken arm. And, you know, back in my day, a broken arm was a source of pride. Although I will say this, I remember I had a piano exam coming up. Mm-hmm. And my youth group were going ice skating.
Yeah.
And I don't think I was allowed to go because one of my friends had fallen over ice skating and someone had ice skated across her fingers.
She didn't lose her fingers.
She didn't lose her fingers, but like she couldn't use her fingers for a little while. Like it just took a little bit to recover, heal up. And so.
Give me chills, yeah.
So ice skating was taken off the car.
I'm not surprised.
Because I had a piano exam coming up.
Yeah, so you couldn't afford to have that sort of injury.
You've got to be able to practice. You've got to be able to play. But a balance of risk, right? If I didn't have a piano exam, I probably would have gone. And it would have been fine. And if I fell over, I fell over.
So we can look back and I reflect about we were crazy what we were doing, like just crazy. So it is definitely for the better, but yeah, I still think you got to take a little risk now and again.
A little risk.
You know where they see the biggest risk?
Where?
Is when they're taking selfies and they've climbed over the
fence. Oh my gosh, yes.
That's a risk I would never take.
Yes.
So, you know, you see someone and it's devastating and they've fallen down a waterfall. Because they've gone past the barrier.
Yeah.
That's the one thing we never did. We never went past the barriers.
Like, yeah. But there probably wasn't a barrier.
There probably wasn't. I remember being at the Great Australian Bite with my parents and we all leant over the edge to have a look, which you're probably not allowed to do now.
No.
But, yeah, like that there is those risks when people are taking selfies and yeah. videos and they're not watching where they're going, then there's those – and they're catastrophic.
They're catastrophic risks.
Catastrophic things.
And there was actually a public health campaign about taking selfies.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And being aware of what your surroundings were.
It's even like people on the street and they've got their earphones in and they're looking at their phones and they're not looking where the cars are in the city.
Yeah, but I see that all the time. That's not just young people. That's everyone.
But that's what I mean. There's still lots of it's technology can add to those
but
risks.
But see, I don't reckon people think of that as a risk. They don't see that they're doing a risky thing. Okay. They think they're doing a media tech thing.
Yeah.
Whereas, you know, I feel like, and maybe that's the problem. Maybe we didn't, or they didn't grow up. Well, I'll put myself in that category. We didn't grow up necessarily with taking risks enough to be risk aware.
Yeah.
That suddenly you're now walking around not necessarily being conscious of all the things that might go wrong.
Whereas you've got the cranky old Gen X going, look up, look up, look up. I don't want to run you over, look
yes,
up.
Yeah,
or 100%. I don't want to crash into you, yeah, look up.
100%. And don't get over the barrier. Like, why? Why would you do that?
I know. I really feel for those people because it's just a stupid mistake, but it ends in something so catastrophic, you know. Just
stupid. But you know the other thing is, although this isn't young people, and I feel like a lot more of it is visitors to Australia who may not understand the Australian risks, is the number of drownings we had this summer.
Yeah, a lot. And they weren't even in the water. They were just walking along the rocks and swept out
to sea.
Was that massive one over Easter. Just
so awful.
Australia's a risky country. Like it really is in our waters, in our bushes. But I think even young kids, we do know those risks. It's just, but a lot of tourists don't. They don't understand.
A lot of tourists don't understand.
Yeah.
And, you know, sometimes when you go to the beach, like sometimes when I go to Venus Bay's beach and the lifeguards are there and you swim between the flags, yes. But the flags are tiny. Like the distance is really small. And you can see people being frustrated by that and wanting, and they swim outside of it. And it's like, no, that's the only safe spot, actually. Mm-hmm. The rest are rips.
Yeah, yeah.
Or there's things going on. And also the lifeguard needs to be able to watch you.
Which they do. They still do.
They still do. Watch.
Yeah.
But the number.
It just makes their job harder.
The number of emergency helicopter things that happened this summer.
Really?
Yeah.
Wow.
Like in Phillip Island, Inverloch, Venus Bay area.
Yeah.
So I think like the drowning risk, we haven't gotten on top of that one yet. I wonder in the next generation how they're going to solve that. They do the little nippers thing.
Yeah. They're still teaching them swimming.
Yeah, they're still teaching, but they're teaching them swimming in the ocean now.
Yes.
Much more than just swimming.
To try and teach them that sort of stuff, yeah.
In a pool, because I only learnt pool swimming.
Okay.
I didn't learn ocean swimming.
I learnt a lot of ocean swimming, as well as pool swimming. We had intense swimming classes as kids. And that wasn't just my parents doing that. That was the school.
Yeah, like, so did we.
Massive swimming classes.
We had to walk to the swimming pool.
Yeah, we did the same. And then we'd swim and then my parents, of course, to the beach. We'd swim a lot at the beach.
Yeah.
Because there's another risk. Like sunscreen didn't exist when I was a kid.
You used to get sunburned.
So burnt. My mother once fell asleep on the beach and no one covered her. And she ended up in hospital for 4 days with a severe, her back completely peeled off. Like I can't even tell you how bad it was, and I'll be really gross. Us kids were so obsessed with it that we could peel the skin off, then we'd hang it on the fridge if it was a big piece.
Oh my God, you're so gross. That is disgusting.
It's so Gen X.
Not like, freaked out by that at all. Like, oh my God.
Sunburn was another huge risk as kids, but it wasn't seen as a risk back there. You would just burn, and that's just the way
the
it
reality
was.
Of Australia.
There was some zinc that you might put on your nose, but nothing else. You just go swimming. But nowadays, I wouldn't go out the door without sunscreen on if it's a hot day or a sunny day or I'm going to be in the sun. Like,
I wear sunscreen. I don't even burn, right?
Yeah.
But I wear sunscreen on my face every single day of the year.
Yeah, so you should though. That's what they say.
Yeah, like, and Scott does. And then like even when we go to the beach now, like he's And when we have people over in Venus Bay, we have heaps of sunscreen. We don't let them go out the door without it.
But back in the day, you would just get burnt. It's just the way it was, you know. We were very tanned as kids because we were always getting burnt.
So you didn't wear sun hats. Like we weren't allowed. We weren't allowed out in the playground if we didn't have a sun hat on.
No, no hats.
No hat, no play.
Yeah, no, I know that, but we never had that. There was no such thing as hats back then. You just and I grew up in the Perth sun, so you can imagine what it was like. Like we would just be in the sun all the time. When I look back on it now, I just think, wow. And, of course, my parents have had so many skin cancers cut off them. It's crazy. And I'm always getting checked for skin cancer now because as you get older, of course, it all comes out.
Yeah.
I think it's our generation and the baby boomers is why the skin cancer clinics are so busy.
And it's why we are so protected because we learned from your mistakes.
Yeah, yeah. Like they've had them off their backs, their arms, their faces, you know, also their hands, like. So much skin cancer, my mum and dad, just crazy. But I think that's normal because that's what we did. You just were outside and just getting burnt. Another risk that just didn't know any better.
But you probably wouldn't have known it was a risk.
No, we didn't. No,
you didn't know what the consequences of getting burnt were.
We just didn't have any idea.
As the science and the, you know, the epidemiology started to catch up and it's like, oh, you get burnt, you're going to increase your chance of getting skin cancer. You know, then all the public health stuff kicks in. It's fascinating.
It is. It's really interesting.
Because you know what, like I sit here and I think you and I don't feel like we're that different in age.
Oh, yeah.
I don't feel like you're that much older than me.
Yeah.
But you telling me these stories, I was like, your childhood was wild.
It was wild. It was a wild childhood. Like, I agree. I look back on my childhood and think, wow, we were free-range kids. We were just – but I think that was normal. Like,
it was normal, but, like, how much changed in a short period of time?
Yeah, but maybe because, as I said, I don't remember – I remember one kid getting run over and it wasn't his fault. He was on an actual crosswalk and a car came through, but I don't remember any other catastrophic injuries as a kid, just broken arms and broken legs and mostly broken arms and grazes and bruises and sunburn and – but I don't remember any head injuries or anything like that.
Yeah.
And obviously there must have been, you know, for all these new things to come up, there must have been.
Oh, yeah, they definitely are.
Yeah, we were lucky we weren't part of that stat, you know, or saw a lot of those stats. But, yeah, obviously
it would have happened.
Yeah, of course.
I still think we live in a very lucky country, a dangerous country, but a country where I am glad the state steps in and says, wear a seatbelt. These are the speed limits. All cars need to have this level of safety. Yes. You know? And we learn, we wear bike helmets and we learn about all of the risks that are happening. That makes me feel proud to be an Australian.
Hi, Fiona here. Thanks for taking the time to listen to the XYZ Experiment podcast. And don't forget to leave a rating and review. If you enjoyed our show, tell all your friends and family and subscribe. Follow us on Instagram at the XYZ Experiment for all the latest updates and news. Our original music was composed and performed by Luke Champion.